The Guardian.
This Guardian podcast was made possible by Squarespace, the all-in-one website maker with Cover Pages, a new feature that expresses your ideas with a bold single-page website. Try it at squarespace.com and use the offer Guardian to get 10% off.
Hello and welcome to the Dailies, the Guardian Film Team's roundup of today's movie news and reviews. I'm Henry Barnes. It's Friday 20th November and joining me today is Benjamin Lee. Hi, Ben.
Hello.
I saw 999 last night, which I'm not allowed to review, but I thought you could review the tagline for me so we can get around it a little bit. Oof. The tagline is, the code on the street is never black and white.
Ooh, too many questions for me to ask from that tagline.
Okay, great. To the news. Star Wars, can we get a bit of the theme tune, Ben? Very good. Star Wars The Force Awakens has already taken $50 million in receipts a month before its release. Advanced ticket sales for the seventh adventure have doubled the previous record. The Dark Knight took a measly $25 million in 2012. In other Mulan news, The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 is set to kill it at the box office. The final part of the saga released yesterday is predicted to take $300 million all told. Ben, all this money washing around and people said cinema was dead.
Yeah, I think it's quite encouraging. I mean, it's obviously quite easy to be snobby about it because it's surrounding films like Star Wars and Hunger Games, and the biggest film so far this year has been Jurassic World. So I think, you know, this year is going to be breaking records, and it is for slightly predictable films, but I think it's really encouraging because, you know, last year was not a great year. Mm. And people are saying, you know, because of Netflix, because of all these different platforms to watch films other than the cinema, that it was going to die. But I think it's good news people still go out to the cinema. I think the quality of TV and things like Netflix have actually made filmmakers sort of step up a bit and work out interesting ways to try and get people along to see films. So even though Star Wars isn't a film I'm that excited about, J.J. Abrams is a talented guy. There's not some hack doing it, you know. And the Hunger Games film, the most recent one, the new one, again, it's flawed, but it's still an interesting film to be doing so well because it's about really dark issues. So I'm quite pleased by all this money talk, to be honest.
It is quite an extraordinary year, though, isn't it? I mean, Morgan Stanley predicted earlier this year that it's going to be the biggest year on record for the US box office. And that is partly because of things like Star Wars and The Hunger Games, but there's also titles, particularly from Universal, that done incredibly well. No one was expecting them to, things like Minions. And I guess Jurassic World as well is among those. It's inevitably going to slide down again next year, though, isn't it? You can't have a Star Wars and Hunger Games every year.
I mean, I was looking ahead to next year, though. There are a lot of big films next year. Quite a lot of superhero films, which is a bit boring, but there's a lot of stuff going on still. I think what's also reassuring about this year is that you see the films which haven't been very good not doing very well. I think because of Twitter and because of people's instant reactions, they've killed the films which don't deserve to do well. So Man from U.N.C.L.E., Pan, Fantastic Four, I feel they've sunk faster than they would have 5 years ago because people would love to tweet their reactions much faster and can kill stuff. So that kind of pleases me that the people are killing the bad movies.
It's very Hunger Games-esque.
Yeah.
Have you ever pre-booked a ticket for anything? It seems kind of strange to me.
Yeah, it's the same as pre-ordering a DVD these days. I mean, yeah. I understand it when you used to go to, like, Woolworths
and make
sure.
No, it's different, isn't it? Because I imagine the queues for Star Wars in particular are going to be insane. There will be sold-out screenings of that. And if you're a massive fan, you probably do want to secure your seat early on, right?
Yeah, no, it is different. And I think, especially people who are so eager, they want to go to the midnight screening, they want to see it the first day, and they want to not see any spoilers, which is another problem of Twitter these days. I kind of do understand it. I wouldn't do it myself, but I don't think I have enough of a fandom about one film to be that excited
What's
about
your
it.
Passion?
That's depressing, yeah.
Moving on then to casting news. Ben, I wondered if you could tell me how excited you are about each of these prospects by giving each one a colour.
Ooh.
Edgar Wright and David Walliams are set to unite for a DreamWorks animation movie centred on the concept of shadows.
Teal.
Sam Riley is in talks to play the villain in the Ghost in the Shell remake.
Charcoal. Mm.
Chris Hemsworth is in talks to play 19th century adventurer Alan Quarterman.
Gold.
And finally, you know the Oscar race is about to go from saunter to sprint when the Hollywood Reporter starts sitting very famous people around a table. The Trade Mag published the first of their award season roundtables this week. Stars including Jennifer Lawrence, Brie Larson and Kate Winslet got together to talk industry sexism, nude scenes and that time when Winslet peed down her own leg for money. Ben, I like these kind of things. They're really entertaining. In a world of sanitized and safe film journalism, they tend to bring some surprises and strange stuff out in the open.
There's something about, I think, getting actors to talk to each other that kind of breaks down some it makes it more intimate, I think, when there's a journalist involved. Obviously, there's someone moderating it, but on the whole, it's just quite a free conversation between these women. And I think there's a danger of it getting too backslappy, but they've picked quite a sharp set of women this year. I think people like Kate Winslet and Kate Blanchett and Jennifer Lawrence, who have all been great in interviews and all don't come up with the same sort of rehearsed bullshit. And looking at what the stuff they talk about this year, they've got through to stuff I don't think a journalist would get to as easily.
Stuff like Jennifer Lawrence saying that she had to get drunk to do a sex scene with Chris Pratt.
And yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And Kate Winslet talking about, pissing on herself. There's been a lot of controversy this year about the cover because all the actresses are white. It was so... I think Hollywood Reporter actually cleverly predicted the controversy, and there was this open letter of sorts written to explain why it was so white. It's saying that, because they pick actors who are in the race, there's no one in the race this year who isn't white, which I kind of understand as an excuse. That still caused people to be angry still, because they're saying that the Hollywood Reporter, they create the buzz, so it's their fault too. But if you look at films this year, that there really aren't that many films which have, actors who aren't white that are in the race, which I think is a wider industry problem, and I think it is a shame, but I don't think it's naturally their fault.
So the Hollywood Reporter are essentially reporting on something that's happening rather than something that isn't ideal.
And you look at the TV roundtable, and they had a much wider set of actors, there's much more diversity, because that's how TV is winning that battle at the moment.
What interests me about this as well is that these people know they're in an awards race together, and whether they, to whatever degree they care about it, there's going to be some sense of competition between them and some sense of, what's she doing that I'm not doing in the run-up to the Oscars? And I like that. I like that feeling that the great elephant in the room is that there's a gold statuette at the end of it all.
Yeah, they're all like, hey, we're best friends now, but I kind of do want to win the Oscar. Yeah. And I think actresses, it's the cliche now, but whenever you ask an actress or an actor about the Oscars, they're always kind of, I don't really care about awards.
Oh, it's a TV show.
Yeah. They obviously do care because, it's as you would. I don't think it's a bad thing to say as an actor, I'd like to win an Oscar. They obviously all do.
Great, and that's it for today. Coming up on the site, we have a video of Peter B talking about why you should watch metaphysical Mexican drama Cueros, and our list of the 5 best things Donald Sutherland has ever done with his life. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Henry H. Barnes, Ben's at Ben Fraser Lee, and producer Rowan is at Classic Kitte. That's K-I-T-T-E-H. Twitter handles. Bring the engagement to our Facebook page, Guardian Film. And thanks for listening. Have a good weekend and see you on Monday. Closing wisdom from finally out of PE, Brie Larson's 2005 single from before she did proper acting and that. And the lyrics go, and I try, but my running sucks. And I try, but I hate doing chin-ups. So there you go. Bye.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.